Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's me, Marty Leonard, here on 93XRT and 93XRT.com. And what a pleasure to start a Friday with Matt Schultz of Cage the Elephant. Matt, how you doing, man? It's so nice to talk to you.
Good. Nice to talk to you.
So last time I saw...
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet, man. Last time I saw you, you're wearing fishnet stockings. You're standing on top of the awning of the soundboard at Lollapalooza, just singing your brains out. That was
man,
a pretty wild time, man.
You told me you weren't going to tell anyone about that, dude.
Well, I tried to keep it to myself, but about 70,000 people watched it.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, no, that was fun. That was a good show.
You know, in
a
the
good experience.
In your career of pretty wild performances, and you know we've seen them many times here in Chicago, that was probably one of the wildest. Was that totally spontaneous for you to go out in the crowd and climb up on that? Was it the crowd that made you do that? How did that all happen?
Yeah. I just generally when we're putting on performances, just trying to be present and respond to impulse, which is what you are like in everyday life, what you strive not to do. To not be present, not be impulsive. No, just like whenever you're in that space, because you just don't want to fall into that trap of like melodrama or trying to like portray any particular, like to have an opinion or of how something should come across. It just totally messes up the presence and stuff. So
yeah, well, that's what always makes a Cage show so great is the spontaneity of your performances, and you know, you have so much energy on stage, and it really does seem like you just don't know where you're going to go in that performance, and you just take it there anyway. And you have a lot of energy, and you're in great shape. One thing I was wondering, how do you stay in shape? And before you go out on a tour, like what do you do? What's your exercise regimen?
It was going to be like a twisted dad joke. I was going to say running from my demons.
Well, you know, that certainly does that does give you a lot of impetus to run.
That falls into the dad category and melodrama. just a lot of like, I guess what I would call extracurricular studies. I've been doing this Butoh intensive for 6 months.
What is that?
It's a form of Japanese dance, but it's extremely physically demanding, and a lot of stuff like that just kind of naturally keeps you fit.
Yeah, well, in the video for the song from the new album, from Social Cues, which is coming out on the 19th of April, we're really looking forward to that. But on the song Ready to Let Go that we've been playing on XRT, is watching the video, and you directed that. But your movements in that do seem like a different kind of dance. Do you use the Butoh in that video?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely like transformed things. I look back at performances, even like on our last run, and not that there's like a pro or an amateur, but I feel very amateur in when I watch that stuff, because I just see a lot of habits in it and a lot of nervous energy. And this particular study, it's funny because you would think that when you study something like that, you get a more planned, refined thing, but this particular type is about, it's more based on impulse. It's more like get away from your habits. It's like let this impulse manifests itself in a different area of your body. So, like, in so many ways, I feel like it's enhanced the rawness of the performances, and and also kind of put a vocabulary to things that are instinctual, which helps you navigate them more readily. I don't know if that makes any sense, but yeah, I'm pretty stoked about it.
Yeah, so it's mind, body, and impulse. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it's reactive instead of active. It's like, instead of being like, let's play a sad song, I've got to be sad on stage. You know, like, that kind of a thing. I don't know. I don't want to come across too much like I'm like, well, the approach, yeah. But anyways, it's really interesting stuff.
No, I think what we know is that your approach on stage, again, is spontaneity. And that's what makes those shows, the shows that you guys do, so exciting. But congratulations on the new album, Social Cues. We're really looking forward to getting the full. The songs that we've played so far, we're just loving here on XRT. We're loving to play them on the radio. And there's a story behind the album. And I think what we'll do is talk about a trip that you took. And that was a trip to Italy. And you went to Pompeii, which is a real emotional experience whenever you go there. But it turned into something more for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, there were, the past couple of years have been pretty turbulent in general. You know, we all go through different seasons in life, and this particular one just was very, very heavy and a lot of loss. Yeah, my cousin, who was my best friend growing up, passed away, and literally best friend. And another super close friend, who I'd also consider a best friend, passed away. And it's tough to talk about, but just a friend committed, two really close friends committed suicide. You know, the deterioration of a relationship. So it was just like one of those times. And I remember we were in Pompeii and I was seeing these people who were cast in these like eternal postures of like whatever the reaction was at that time. Frozen. I remember looking at the people and just thinking, wow, I can relate. You know, like that is what I feel like right now. And, and then went back to the, place I was staying at that night and just wrote the song, so.
And that's the song Ready to Let Go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. And was that the first song you wrote, for this record?
No, because we're always writing on the road as we go. We're always sharing ideas. So it's kind of like it's a constant thing happening. So I can't say which one was first.
Yeah.
But I just recognized your voice. And I just wanted to say, good to talk to you. I look forward to sitting down. Like, I was like, oh, I know who I'm talking to now.
You can relax, all right?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing really great.
Good.
Well, we love playing Ready to Let Go on the radio, and I know that the song is emotional for you. It's about a personal breakup, and you can hear that in the lyrics. Yet at the same time, the song has a lot of energy, and the song just sounds great. So congratulations on being able to take a personal experience like that and turn it into great art and also great rock and roll. That's nice.
Well, I appreciate that. I think you just write about write about what you're experiencing. So
right.
That is, You know, what recently just really struck a chord with me, and almost to the point of like being knocked down by it. I was listening, you know, we have this idea of Mick Jagger, I think because his persona was lionized and hypersexualized and all these things, and there were certain parts of the story that were more easy to embellish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've all latched onto this idea of who this guy is or who this band is. But you go back and listen to Painted Black, and man, you cannot write a song like that unless it comes from a real place. You know what I mean? And like, I see a red door and I want to paint it black.
Yeah.
Like, and you go into those lyrics, and that is some really deep material. And yeah, it's that's the kind of stuff you want to dig for.
Right.
Well, you write about personal subjects through the perspective of characters also. Does that make it easier to go inside of yourself to sort of portray it as a characterization of someone else?
Yeah, easier to, it's like a safe passageway. It also makes it easier, even oddly enough, strange enough, to identify with. When you kind of put it outside yourself, you can relate to it because it's not under so much personal scrutiny.
Yeah.
I like that process, because also while we were making this record, I was watching all these murder documentaries and crime documentaries, and just finding that a lot of these people who had committed hideous crimes were very relatable, and not only that, but like could present themselves as likable and in many aspects lovable. And so, you know, there's all these different angles to play with, which is that it's truly relatable because all human beings can find themselves in any scenario given the circumstance, and then your decision making accordingly. You know, that's a pretty wild thought to kind of play with. And then there's like the idea of presenting yourself as lovable and kind and inwardly being a monster.
Right.
But there's also the idea of presenting yourself to be, or portraying yourself, like envisioning yourself to be a monster, but inwardly to kind of like be very lovable. And perhaps all of those things kind of walk hand in hand, and probably that's closer to the truth than anything. Anyways, it's really, I like that.
Well, yeah.
Because when you're in character work, you can kind of focus on that more.
I think that people don't look at themselves enough. You know, when they hear about some heinous crime or some homicidal individual, you know, they're always portrayed as someone else. This is something that is way off the charts, right? But oftentimes, oftentimes when you hear these stories, at least I do, think about, wow, have I ever thought that? Could I ever do anything like that? Is there something that holds me back from that? You know, it's a scary thing. And to actually go deeply into it, like you have on this record, it's a disturbing thing. You know, you certainly go to a dark place, right?
Well, what blows me away, and it's funny because I think that sometimes there's shifts in culture, that are very obvious. Sometimes it's not obvious. Sometimes it happens in a brief amount of time. Sometimes it happens over a long period of time. And I think there's been a cataclysmic shift in a certain area of thinking, which is that all humans were created equal, or made equal, or born equal, or, you know, wherever you are in life, however you want to wrap your head around it, is that human beings are equal, right?
Mm.
I think that we've allowed ourselves to arrive in a place where we think that there are particular people that are like superhuman or somehow more elevated. And then, here's the real divisive kind of perspective, is that, yeah, we're all equal on an elevated level, but not all equal on like a on a dark level, you know what I mean? Which is, you know what I mean? Like that, oh yeah, then that makes sense. We're all equal as in the best representation of ourselves. But what about the worst?
Right.
You can't like only look at one part of the picture. It's just a really interesting place to think.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about it a lot.
And it's a great outlet to have a band and to have the talent to write songs and then perform them on stage to, you know, to help you sort that stuff out. Let's talk about the album Social Cues just a little bit. In fact, we should talk about it more than we have been. But
hey, guys, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I think we only have time for one more question here. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. So you're... The record comes out on the 19th of April, Social Cues, and then you're hitting the road and you're coming here to Chicago. You're playing a big show this summer at Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island and a tour with Beck. And that's great that you guys have a relationship with Beck, and he's helped you out with the album as well. How did you come together with Beck?
We had done a couple shows where we were on the same bill. And I believe we were in L.A., and we got invited to meet him and went back to his dressing room, and he was a lovely human being. And then he was on tour and passed through Nashville, and I went to the show, and we reconnected and had another great little hang. And so when we were making the record, we had... It was just weird, a weird, like, occurrence of events. And his father ended up doing all the arrangements for the strings on our, the compositions for the strings on our record. His father, which I don't think a lot of people know, is a legend in his own right as a composer, David Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were finishing Night Running, we had the track done for the most part. The choruses we were all really excited about them, but the verses, we just couldn't come up with an approach for the verse. And Brad had just had it in his mind that somehow Beck would know. And so we sent it off to him. He was on tour. I think he was like on tour somewhere in Asia or Eastern Europe. And it was just mind blowing. It was a huge testimony to the level of talent that he is, because within 2 days he sends back, you know, several options, and the first two passes were like, yes, that's it. That's, you know, that's the direction. And so then everything else just kind of naturally formed, because it was kind of like looking for a space to perform the song together. Well, how about we just book a tour? And
well, it's going to be great to see you guys playing together. Are you headlining, or is Beck headlining? Do you trade off? How's that going to work?
It's a co-headline, yeah.
That's great. That's great. And you're playing here in Chicago on the night before Lollapalooza, and I have to say, the lineup for your show, it's pretty great. It's really great with Spoon on the bill and Wild Bell as well. That's great. And the album comes out on the 19th of April. We're really looking forward to it, and always great to see Cage the Elephant play in Chicago. So it's going to be a great summer for a record that came from dark places. You're taking it out into the light this summer, so that's got to feel really great.
Yeah, we're really pleased with how things are starting to unfold.
Well, we'll definitely catch up with you later on this summer. Matt, thanks a lot for checking in with us. Matt Schultz.
Yeah.
Matt Schultz from Cage the Elephant here on 93 WXRT. Thanks, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.